need your daily fix of women's mixed martial arts? From the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship, be in the loop, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your fix on women's MMA with Got You Covered on Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Right now, you are tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. I'm your host, Tate, and I have somebody else with me as well. Who do I have with me?
I'm your co-host, Sarah.
We have Sarah with me today.
How are you doing tonight, Tate?
I'm doing good.
Good.
So, we had a pretty fun weekend of fights this weekend.
We did.
We had Invicta 22, and I gotta say, spectacular card. It seems like Invicta is like show after show is getting better and better and better. What did you think of the card so far?
I thought it was a great card. You initially had some doubts about this card, right?
Well, I thought it was, I was kind of thinking it was gonna be a little top heavy, so I was thinking like, you know, I don't know what I was kind of expecting out of the undercards. And I knew the co-main event and the main event would be really, you know, spectacular fights. But I wasn't really that sure about, you know, the early fights. And then when we started watching weigh-ins and some of the, you know, we lost a couple of fights here and there. Some people didn't make weight. I definitely did have my doubts. So, you know, did it, when you started seeing some of the weigh-ins, did it kind of make you a little leery as well?
It just seemed like the lineup kept changing a lot. And I don't know if that was just my perception of it or if it's, I mean, it seemed like from when we first started looking at the lineup to the actual fight time when it started, it seemed like there were a lot of changes. And maybe there weren't as many as I think, but it felt like there were a lot.
Now, I can understand where you're coming from with that, but just because, you know, fights were scheduled as the strawweight. It was going to be kind of a card featuring a lot of the strawweights, but then it kind of changed because of a few fights being, you know, at catchweight, fights got canceled. So it just kind of threw things. Initially, I thought it was going to throw things off. But, man, I was definitely wrong. That fight, I mean, that card in general, I don't think there was a boring fight from start to finish. I mean, that fight, the card just kept me engaged. I thought it may even be the best Invicta event I'd seen, maybe ever. Matter of fact, I would go as far as to say the last two Invicta events have just been, just have really kicked it up a lot.
So you want to talk about the fights now?
You want to talk? Wow, you're ready to jump into this right away.
Well, no, I mean, we don't have to. We can make some more small talk.
What do you want to small talk about, then?
I don't know. How was your weekend?
My weekend consisted of just watching fights. And I also played around with, I had ordered this new box called the Tick Box. And so I kind of played around with that a lot. It's like a little box that'll give you the ability to watch almost any television program anywhere in the world. So I'm a huge, huge fanatic when it comes to watching BBC and Australian television.
Really?
Which is, you know, kind of a weird thing. But so I ended up getting the Tick Box, and I was playing around with that. So I spent most of Saturday during the day working on that, all the way up to came time to watch Invicta. So that was a big part of my day. And then Sunday, was more playing around with the tick box and figuring out how to work it and watching videos and finding all these crazy stuff that I wouldn't be able to watch without, you know, watching, without, you know, because I don't have, you know, all the BBC channels or all the Australian channels. So that's kind of what I did.
So Invicta and Australian TV, that was pretty much your weekend.
That sounds like a freaking awesome combination.
All right.
Okay, so we're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, we're going to dive right into that Invicta 22 event where Tanya Evinger came back and established that she never left. Her fight against Yana Kunitskaya. So when we come back, we'll talk about that. We'll talk on some other Invicta news that was announced right before Invicta FC dealing with Cyborg or Chris Cyborg. Stay tuned, hang in there, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
We're back, and you are listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. And what are we going to cover first?
So the first thing we're going to talk about is that main event, and that was Tanya Evinger versus Yana Kunitskaya, take two, because, of course, the first time it was contested, and Tanya ended up getting her title back. So round two, to see if it was a fluke, if it was meant to be, if what, you know. So what did you think of that fight?
Okay, before we start, the first victory, this was, you know, one of those situations where Tanya had the title taken from her because of referee interference. She had her foot on Yana's head. And the referee made her move, back into position.
And he said that that wasn't allowed, but that's not the case, right?
No, it was totally legal. It was you are allowed to step on someone's head. You just could not make it a blow. So if she would have tried stomping on her head or kicking her in the head while she was down, then it would have been an illegal move. But the referee actually made her move. Which then made her move into step. Once you stepped over the head, it made it so that arm bar kind of locked in. Tanya tapped, and it was a quick night in which she had lost the title. But the big victory is when you appeal a decision, a referee's decision, it is never, ever overturned. I've never seen it overturned, and so that was the first win of this, you know. Fight was the fact that Tanya actually earned, you know, a no contest in which she got her title back. That was a huge victory, and I think, and that's what kind of started the kind of the rivalry between Yana and Tanya, because a lot of people give Tanya a bad name and they talk about how, you know, she's this, you know, she kind of has a kind of bad mouth, or, you know, but Tanya was nothing but the consummate professional. When she lost, even though she thought, you know, she had gotten ripped off, she kept things on a very high note by just congratulating her and, you know, shaking her hand and moved on. It didn't get ugly between those two until once the decision was made, and then you start seeing a few things on Twitter where Yana wasn't happy about it. And you know what? I can defend Yana by saying I understand. She's done the impossible. She's come over to her first trip to the United States, and she's fighting arguably one of the greatest, and I will repeat that again, one of the greatest bantamweight fighters in history. And there's a lot of fans who will listen to, who watches UFC and listen to this show, will say, what? What are you talking about? I'm saying just that. Tonya Evinger is one of the true greats of all time. As a matter of fact, I'd put her, as far as the bantamweight division goes, she's one of the top three of all time. And I'm saying that, especially after her overcoming this situation. But I we'll talk about that a little later on. But, you know, once this, so you go into this event and you go into the weigh-in, and you can kind of tell how, as the fight is building the day before, how it's starting to come out, how there's a bit of a rivalry, and you listen to the interview, and Yana's like, she's just not a nice person.
I think what she said was she's a horrible person.
Was it a horrible person?
That was how it was translated. No, she was speaking English. She used the word horrible. Yeah.
So she's a horrible person.
She is a horrible person.
And you know what? If you don't follow Tonya, I see how people could get that wrong impression on Tonya. But when you really, if you follow Tonya's career and you listen to Tonya, I think Tonya has been always open to fighting whomever, whenever. And I think she shows a lot of respect to fighters, but she has a lot of confidence in herself. And when you look at a career that she's had, she's earned that confidence. You know, she started out kind of rough when she first started her career with a few different losses. But, you know, over the last 10 years, I'll put her up against anyone in that bantamweight division. There's no one that I'm going to tell you just say they're going to blow Tonya out or that Tonya can't compete with them. Tonya can compete with any bantamweight in the UFC, in Bellator, I don't care where they're at, she can compete with any women's bantamweight fighter on the roster, past or present. That's just my opinion. So, let's get to the fight. That fight was awesome. First, you know, it was a lot. I mean, Tonya coming to the ring, I was super excited about that. She seemed super calm and ready to go. What was your take when you started watching the fight?
It was fascinating to watch them, first of all, come into the ring, especially Yana. Yana has almost zero expression when she comes into the ring. She is, I think one of the commentators said something about her just being like ice, you know, just her face is impassive. People were booing her, and she came in, and it was like, she could have been alone in that room, in that octagon. She just was completely impassive. And then, like you said, Tonya came in. She seemed calm. She seemed ready. So just watching them come in, the two of them both seemed like they were ready and just ready to go at it.
You know, I listened to an interview after the fight, and I listened to Tonya talk about how she was the most relaxed she had been for any of her fights. She wasn't stressed out or she wasn't worried at all. She didn't feel like she had lost the title. More or less, like she felt like, you know, a lot of times when you're sparring at the gym, you know, someone will put you in an arm bar or something, you just kind of tap out, but, you know, it's not really real. And kind of that's the way Tonya felt in her interview. She was talking about that, and she was just saying, like, you know, after watching Yana and actually being in the ring with her, she didn't think Yana had a shot, where she didn't think Yana could knock her out, and she knew Yana couldn't handle her on the ground. And she kind of fought just that way. When the fight started, Tonya took her to the ground pretty early, and she took her to and she kept her to the ground, working a lot of ground and pound, just trying to keep keeping the fight under control. The thing about this fight that I thought was amazing is
I think you were gonna you're gonna say what I was just gonna say.
I'll let you say it then.
Well, about Yana, and I was really impressed with her ground game. I mean, I expected, you know, they talk about her striking ability, but the fact that, what, 90% of this fight, it seems like, took place on the ground, and she completely held her own.
She you know what? I mean, I think Tanya is one of the best wrestlers in women's mixed martial arts, and Yana held her own. A couple of times, I was really worried that Tanya was in trouble. She faced the arm bar attempt. She faced a toe hook. I mean, a toe lock. I mean, she tried submission. Anna tried submission after submission after submission. The one thing I'll tell you about Tanya, that is, she was one calm, cool customer in that ring.
And yet, after the fight, she said a couple of times that she felt like she didn't do well. Like, she could have done a lot better. Like, I think she even said she fought like crap, didn't she?
Yeah, I don't think she was happy with her performance as a whole. And the situation is that, once again, on another interview, she talked about how she traditionally keeps a very, very strict diet right before the fight. And she went out with some friends, and they decided to go to get Mexican food, and she didn't want to eat anything. But they told her, you know, just eat some beans or eat these rice and beans. It's, you need to keep your carbs up anyway. And she ate the rice and beans, and I guess it came back to bite her in the butt a little bit. No
hopefully
pun intended.
Not literally.
Yeah, so she was, from everything I understand, she was a little under the weather.
Okay.
But it didn't matter. When she was in that ring and Yana was putting on the arm bar, and then she tried so many different submissions. It was hard to keep up with how many submissions. I'd never seen anyone attempt so many submission holds. And most people, when they get in a submission hold, they kind of panic or they stop their game plan and they instantly just kind of freak out and try like crazy to get out of it. Tanya was calm. Like, at no point, even though I'm looking at this and I'm like, wow, this is locked. It's locked in there tight. Tanya was just cool and calm. And I mean, did you see that as well?
I did. I think I feel like they both were. It was like watching. I can't even come up with a good metaphor off the top of my head, but it just seemed like they were both really focused, really calm, really in the moment. There wasn't a lot of sort of those panic moves where you're trying to, like you said, you're kind of freaking out. No, they just seemed like they were calculating what they were doing, figuring out what they should do in response to what the other fighter was doing.
Yeah, no, I thought they both handled themselves really well. Tanya's wrestling game is just, just phenomenal. She can make a fight dirty. And that's been her game plan. I have yet to see anyone stop her from making that fight dirty, but she took her down. The ground and pound was there, and then Tanya eventually takes her back, puts in the rear naked choke, and Anna's tapping. And I mean, but it was a really impressive fight. It was a lot of people who say Tanya's not fun to watch. Watch this fight. Tanya's a lot of fun to watch. I don't understand why someone would even say that Tanya's not fun, because I think her fights are some of the most intriguing fights you can find on the Invicta rosters. No, she doesn't go in guns a-blazing like Ronda Rousey or Chris Cyborg. She's different than those guys. As a matter of fact, there's no one – I don't know anyone that actually fights quite like Tanya. she's found a special niche that makes her different. And, you know, no one's been able to stop her for almost a decade. I mean, she's just been she's been rolling strong. And I was super impressed.
I think this fight might have even helped her a little bit. I mean, I don't think she's a boring fighter. I've never thought she was a boring fighter. But I think that the fact that it was contested, she did get her title back. That Yana had it for, 13 days? And then the decision was overturned and she got it back. I think that made her more popular a little bit.
I agree.
Just the fact that people were booing Yana when she came in, they were chanting Tanya's name. You don't get that a lot with Tanya, but you really saw it in this fight.
No, you don't. It was kind of like addition by subtraction. Because...
No one said there'd be math.
Because of the fact that Tanya was, in my opinion, and, you know, and the Athletic Commission's opinion, she wrongfully lost her title and it was given back, I feel like she gained more fans. I think people started to realize, like, wait a minute, who is this Tanya Evinger fighter? Why is so many people upset about Tanya losing? Why is it a big deal? I think she gained a lot more fighters. And I also think because of the loss and because of the increased interest in this fight, it may open a door for her to finally fight in the UFC.
And I love that. You have been campaigning for that forever.
I have been campaigning for Tanya Evinger to be in the UFC for a long time. And I remember when Ronda was coming back and they were talking about Ronda should take a tune-up fight. And they said, you know, some people mentioned Tanya Evinger as Ronda's tune-up fight.
Oh, dear.
And I was like, don't you dare. I'm like, I think people would have been really shocked because I think Tanya can compete with anyone. And I'm saying Ronda. I'm saying Amanda Nunes. And no disrespect to those guys because I think those guys, I mean, I'm a huge fan of both. I think they're great. But I don't think... I think Tanya can compete with any of them. And I'm not saying she'll win or she'll – I don't know. I would have to dive into and look into it a little bit deeper. But she has just as good a chance of beating the top people in the UFC than – I mean, I give her a better chance than almost anyone else of when you're starting to take on some of the top fighters in the UFC.
And on that note, you know, you said maybe it'll open the door. It doesn't sound, from what Tanya said at the post-fight interview in the Octagon, that she's thinking that way. I mean, I can't, you know, I don't know her and I can't read her mind. But she did say, you know, the woman asked what's next. And she said, well, a couple more fights. And then, you know, it kind of sounded like she was leaning a little bit toward retirement. Do you think that's the case, or was she? I don't know. I didn't know quite what to make of her comments.
You know, I get the same feeling that, I was definitely hanging on every word. But you know, sometimes you say things, or you're about to say things, in the heat of the moment, right after a fight. Because when I started listening to some of the other interviews afterwards, Tanya was not talking or thinking about retiring whatsoever. She was, you know, she was just saying she doesn't care who she fights next. She's willing to fight anybody. I would have liked to have seen her make another case for the fighting someone in the UFC. I would really, really would have loved to see her call somebody out. Kind of the way Megan Anderson called out for the winner of Jermaine Duranemi and Holly Holm. I thought that was the way to go. But Tanya, it's been so respectful and to Invicta that, you know, she's stayed very close to the vest. So is there anything else about this fight you want to talk about or cover before?
I think we covered pretty much most of what I had to cover.
Pretty much
all of what I had to cover, not much.
I mean, once again, and just an amazing fight. I hung on every second of it. But there was a little bit of news right before this fight. Do you want to talk about what that was?
Sure. So the news was about Chris Cyborg, who has said that she is now vacating that Invicta title. So that moved Megan Anderson from interim champ to the... Oh, I just blanked on the phrase. She's not the interim champ. Now she's the...
Undisputed champion.
Undisputed. Thank you. The undisputed champ. So Chris Cyborg is vacating her title, and she has called out Jermaine Duranemi for a fight. What do you think about that possibility?
Well, that was... I mean, it was just a matter of time before she was going to vacate that the Invicta title anyway. Invicta's in a great place because they had an interim champion who is just amazing, and Megan Anderson. The only problem with Megan Anderson is that she is going to get called up to the UFC very, very soon.
But she's another one you've been campaigning for, so that should make you happy, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It's kind of a double-edged sword because...
I make no bones about it. My two favorite Invicta fighters, and I love the Invicta roster as a whole, but I look at Megan and I say, Megan is the future of the featherweight division, and I look at Tonya Evinger as the champ or the contender who hasn't had a fair shot yet, who deserves a shot to show that she is one of the best fighters in all of the bantamweight division. So Megan Anderson and Tonya Evinger, I am all on board both of them coming to the UFC because I think they can compete with anyone on the roster. So, but back to Chris Cyborg. The minute that the whole situation that she got cleared and got that exemption from USADA, I knew she was going to make a move for that title. Because, I mean, the title was created for her, and then the USADA situation happened, and she couldn't really, fight for the initial title.
So what do you think about that USADA decision? Because new podcast, we haven't talked about that, obviously, since we can't go back in time and create a podcast to talk about that. What do you think about that decision?
I don't want you to ask me that question.
I take it back then.
I don't know. I love Chris Cyborg. I just wasn't a big fan of them making that exemption for her.
It feels like a slippery slope.
That's exactly where's that line going to be drawn at?
Right.
And so it's a very touchy one, and I think everyone's going to get the same exemption. I think it's either all or nothing, and I think it was definitely a very slippery slope. So, as a whole, wasn't a big fan of it.
Okay, we'll move on.
Okay.
You seem very uncomfortable.
I was so tiptoeing around that conversation. I'm like, oh, no, you didn't just ask me that question. Now, as far as you're putting Jermaine Duranemi, one of the most decorated fighters as far as Muay Thai and outside of mixed martial arts in history against Chris Cyborg. I'm looking forward to this fight. I cannot wait. I don't think they've announced a date yet, have they?
Well, they haven't, and Duranemi had stated after her last fight with Holly Holm that, she did injure her hand, and so she was waiting to see if she had to have surgery. So I think that may be a factor I'm not sure if she's announced one way or the other about her hand, but obviously if she's going to have surgery, that fight would have to be postponed.
The question I have, I look at that division as there's a three-way dance there. If you mix in Holly, there's four-way, but it's Megan Anderson, Chris Cyborg, Jermaine Duranami. If Jermaine actually goes through, if the surgery holds her up and she can't fight a while, will Cyborg just wait on the sidelines and not fight? Or will Cyborg fight Megan, or will she fight Holly Holm? Both of those would be very dangerous fights right when you have, a title shot sitting there. So I don't quite know what's going to happen there. I do like the fact that with Megan getting the Invicta title outright, it makes it so Megan can get a couple more fights, because I don't quite think Megan is quite ready for Chris Cyborg right now, but she's going to be. And I think she needs about 2 to 3 more fights. And with everything, the way things are looking, where if they wait and have a Jermaine Duranami Chris Cyborg fight, that gives Megan that total opportunity to get in 2 to 3 more fights so that she's ready. And that would be a blockbuster fight. As far as who do I think will win between Cyborg and Jermaine Duranami, I think the only fighter in the UFC that is built to give Chris Cyborg trouble was Jermaine, followed by Holly. But I would not put a penny against Chris Cyborg. I would take Cyborg to win against either one.
All right. You know what? I think we should take a break.
I think you're right.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about a few of the other fights that were on that on the Invicta 22 card. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Okay, and we're back, and we were just talking about the Tanya Evinger versus Yana Kuniskaya fight, in which Tanya Evinger won. We touched on a little bit about the fact that Chris Cyborg had vacated her Invicta title, and now we're going to talk a little bit more about that Invicta FC 22 card.
Yes. So let's start off with strawweight division, Ayaka Hamasaki versus Livia Renata Souza. This was somewhat unexpected. It was not quite the fight that I was expecting. How about you?
Okay. So we're talking about the co-main event on this card. And this was the card that – this was the fight that I thought, man, this fight is going to have fireworks. I'm thinking like, okay, this is going to be a wire-to-wire battle. Nope, not at all. I was super excited about watching Hamasaki, put on a good performance. and really showcase herself and you know, establish herself as a strawweight contender and with a, you know, a tough fight, but I thought something that she would win. Nope, not at all.
This was uncomfortable for me to watch because at the end, I kept yelling that it needed to end, you know? There were so many strikes after she fell, and then, I was like, I was trying to make the ref hear me through the TV screen to stop the fight because Hamasaki was just lying there.
Souza landed one of the best shots, and Hamasaki is the Adam Waite champion on Invicta, but Souza landed a shot that just put her to sleep. And, I mean, I was so impressed by her. She applied pressure, and when she landed that shot, she went down. Hamasaki went down. And then you're right. I counted 10, 11 shots where it should have been just one shot and done. But the referee just let it go, and it was one shot after the next one after the next one. I think it was like 10 shots that I counted before the referee stepped in. But I tell you what, with the fact that Angela Hill has vacated the strawweight title and Souza was the former strawweight champion, and when she lost the title to Angela Hill, it's just, matter of fact, don't even have her fight anybody. Just give her the belt. She's ready. Matter of fact, I got it in the mail. Just give her the belt. That's how impressive she was. She knocked out the Adam Waite champion like she was not even a contender. With that performance, how can you not make her, the new champ? I'm looking forward to seeing who they put together, but she's fighting for that title. She's getting her title back.
Oh yeah, I think she would have agreed with your assessment of just give me the belt. She didn't say that, of course, because she was much more tactful, but she, you could tell she was like, hi, I'm back, hello.
Listen, should have went down to the post office. Should have got you a couple of stamps, because the belt's kind of heavy.
A couple of stamps.
Got you
post office lately.
Get you a couple of stamps and just stick them on the belt and ship it.
They say you can ship anything. You can ship a potato. You can ship that belt.
Don't the post office have those boxes where if it fits in there,
it ships.
Stick that darn belt in there and put it in there. Head toward Brazil or wherever she lives now and just deliver it. And just give her the title. I mean, I just don't even see a reason to even watch it.
Well, that note.
I'm being serious.
I know you are.
I was impressed by her before. It's like she found a different gear. That's not the woman that lost to Angela Hill. Olivia Souza, she didn't. That woman that won this weekend did not fight Angela Hill. She was in training somewhere else as her twin fought Angela Hill. Her twin was the former champion. This is a new contender. And I'm joking about her being a twin, but she was that impressive. I mean, she applied pressure, nonstop pressure, cut the ring off and dropped her. And the question I have is, Hamasaki, what do you do? I mean, you just watch your Adam Waite champion get knocked out. I mean, viciously knocked out. What do you do next with her? I mean, I think if I'm Hamasaki, I'm taking time off. You don't come back too fast. What are the big mistakes when you get knocked out like that? Especially with the fact that she's already the champ. You want to jump back in the ring and show that it was a fluke situation. That's not the norm. That would be a bad decision on Hamasaki's side, and I hope her camp takes good care of her and just say, you know what, take some time.
She needs time to heal.
Yes, because a lot of fighters, you feel, I mean, I've fought. I'm not on this level, but if you get nailed, you know, you feel better the next day a lot of times. If not, within the next week, you feel better. You feel like you could take on the world, you know, within a few days. You get back into training. I don't think if I was, I wouldn't do any sparring. I would train, but as far as jumping back in the ring right away, I would not do that. But Olivia Souza just really put on just an amazing performance. She goes to 10-1 now as a record, and Hamasaki goes to 14-2. That was Hamasaki's only her second loss. That's how impressive Hamasaki has been over the years. That was only her second loss of her career, but it was in spectacular fashion. So my hat's off. Cannot wait to see Olivia Souza fight again. I will be in the front row, eyes wide open.
All right, so let's move on to a fight that wasn't quite so decisive. It was a split decision, and that was also the strawweight division. That was Deanna Bennett versus Jody Escabel.
Now, that was a fight. That was a good fight. When I was watching, first off, I'm going to talk about Jody. I thought Jody came in the best shape of her career. She looked like someone who was ready to start contending again. This is that next step of getting her to starting to contend again, for the title. Escabel came in the first round and she got a huge takedown, on Bennett. And it was a good fight. The last two rounds came in, I thought, super close. This fight literally could go either way, but in the end, I think the right person won. I look forward to seeing both of these fighters. Bennett drops to 8-3. Jody goes to 6-2. I look forward to seeing where these guys go next. Also, with the fact, there was one downside of this fight, though. There's one thing I didn't like about it, is the fact that it was at a catch weight. This was supposed to be a straw weight battle, and you know, it had to be done at a catch weight. And so that was kind of a bit of a disappointment. But both of these fighters are really, really up and coming, especially, and I'm really happy for the fact that Jody won. Jody was coming off of a loss to Alexa Grasso, and Alexa Grasso is a really tough fighter. She's now in the UFC. So it shows that Jody has the ability. If she can get in the ring and have a tough loss with Alexa Grasso, she can definitely contend and Invicta. So that was a good fight. So I was excited about that, and it was fun to watch. What do we have next?
What we have next is a fight that didn't happen, and that was the Jinyu Fry fight. Jinyu Fry versus Janessa Morandin, and I'm not sure I'm saying that right. I apologize.
This is why when the weigh-in happened, the card kind of lost a little luster to me initially, because it made up. Once the fight started, any shine that was taken off of it was buffed out and polished up, and it was looking good. But I was so looking forward to seeing Jinyu Fry fight. And then because of the big weight difference, the fight had to be canceled. So that was a little disappointing. Looking forward to seeing, I don't know if they're going to reschedule that fight again, but would love to see that fight on the next Invicta card.
Okay. And then we have Amber Brown versus Ashley Cummins, and that was at the Atomweight.
Now there's another fight that was once again a really great fight. It really, you know, two fighters that, you know, are just tough. I mean, when I look at Amber Brown is a tough, gritty fighter, and Ashley just really, you know, really just stepped up her game.
That fight started off so fast. It just felt like they were just going at it. I wasn't sure they were going to be able to make it through all of their rounds because they were so fast at the beginning.
You know, I agree with you. This is one of those fights where when you look at it on paper and you say, okay, Ashley Brown, she's a tough fighter. She's always tough, but she's coming off of two losses. And then you look at Ashley Cummings and, you know, and you look at her, she had a one win after three losses. And, you know, and I was just, and it was her first time fighting at the 105 weight. I tell you what, she needs to tattoo on her forehead 105. She is an atom weight.
That seems extreme.
Maybe a little extreme. Maybe, what about a little tiny tattoo right about the hairline or something like that? Just enough that...
Okay, maybe in the hair you could cover it up. Like a micro tattoo. On your forehead?
Okay, maybe that's a little extreme. But I tell you what was extreme was her fighting skill. She looked fantastic at
this. Nice segue.
Thank you very much. I practiced that one.
Thanks.
No. Man, she looked so good at this weight. She's going to be able to really start contending. I think she's an up and comer in the Invicta, atom weight class, and if she keeps fighting like this, she will contend for the title. Amber Brown put up one of the best fights she's put up in a long time, and both of these guys look fantastic. But Ashley Cummings, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens as she starts making her march through the atom weight division, because anyone that signs with her is going to have their hands full. And I tell you that. Good luck, guys. Okay, so with that, we have a few more fights to cover on this card. We're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, we're going to cover, I think there's like three or four more fights on this card. Stay tuned.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Okay, so we just got done finishing talking about some of the co-main event and a couple of other fights that was on that Invicta FC 22 card. We talked about how Olivia Sosa KO'd Hamasaki by spectacular fashion. We talked about how Jody Escobel and how she came in really great shape, and she really put on a really great show in a very tough fight with Bennett, where she won a split decision. And then we talked about the brand new, soon-to-be star in the atom weight division, where Ashley Cummings came out and put on a really great show. So we just talked about those. So, Miss Sarah, what else do we have on the docket?
We've got a few more fights to cover. The first one we're going to talk about is Suna David's daughter versus Mallory Martin. They both came in at 1-0, so there's, you know, kind of unknown, but really another really good fight. Another fight that started out just fast paced and hard to tell for me as I was watching it. hard to tell who was winning at any given moment. It felt like it really could have gone either way.
It was a fantastic fight. And, you know, looking at Davis' daughter, she started out really strong. Early in the fight, she rocked Martin. But then, you know, Martin rocked her a couple times later in the fight. This was a seesaw battle back and forth. I personally had it as a controversial decision because I actually had Martin winning 2-1. I gave the first round to Davis' daughter, which is I do like that last name. It's like Suna.
That's an awesome last name.
Davis' daughter. You know, I was like, hey, where's Tate's daughter?
Well, she lived in Iceland. That could be a possibility.
So I did like that, the name. But Davis' daughter is she came in and you could tell she took this fight serious. Her conditioning was on point. You know, this lady has potential. I think both of these ladies have an impact in the Invicta FC ranks. It was their, you know, both fighters came in 1-0, but these fighters are well skilled. I was shocked that the judge gave round two to Davis' daughter because
they all did because it was a unanimous decision.
Yes,
so I
was really shocked. I truly thought Martin won round two, and I thought clearly she won round three. So, like I said, I had it two rounds to one. But I'm looking forward to seeing these ladies because both of them, this will not be the last time you see them contending. You know, because both are very high level skill. Okay, what's next?
Well, I was just going to say this is why I'm not a judge, because when it's this close, when it goes back and forth like this, I personally would just want to call everything a draw. I'd be like, you guys fought so well. I'm not a judge.
I would hate your guts.
I know you would. Everyone would hate my guts. This is why no one will ever ask me to judge anything, because I would be like, oh, you guys are awesome. I love you all. Participation trophies for everyone.
Oh, I'm throwing you out of the studio when you say participation trophies.
Please don't throw me out of the studio. I'll move on. Okay.
Real quick, though, with this fight, who did you think won?
I actually did think David's daughter won.
Oh, so you did?
I did.
Okay. So, but,
you know.
No, it was a close fight. I didn't think round two was close. They were close, but I thought there was a clear winner in round two, and it was Martin. And then I thought it was a clear winner in round three, and I thought it was Martin. So I was really shocked that it happened. But that's one of those things about sitting in your living room watching the fight instead of going, which I was so tempted to go to this one. I really wanted to go to this one, but because of other obligations, I was not able to go to it. So, you know, I ended up watching it, and I really regret that. Definitely got to make changes the next Invicta event I expect to be at.
But you won't let me go because I say things like participation trophies, huh?
Yeah, it'd be.
I know.
Rear neck and choke.
I'll stay here.
<It's okay>. All right. What's next?
So next we have another fight where both fighters came in at 1-0. That's Cal Holliday and Miranda Maverick. And I didn't really know much about either of these fighters, but this was kind of an unexpected fight. I didn't quite know what to expect going in, but I was impressed.
You know what? I didn't know much about either one of these fighters as well, but when you start watching it, these ladies really, I mean, it was nonstop action, and Maverick just put the pressure on. She put pressure on. She put that arm bar on, and it was strong. And this fight was, you know, it was over. I mean, it was a really, I mean, I was really impressed. As a matter of fact, initially, I thought Holiday was the one that was looking the best. And then that armbar happened. And Holiday, I mean, Holiday had a, you know, had a big slam. She dropped Maverick when she had that armbar. And she spiked her on her head. I mean, her head bounced off the canvas when she had that armbar on. It didn't matter. Maverick had that bad boy locked in.
Yeah, that whole... yeah, I cringed at that point.
Guys, too bad this isn't on air, because on televised, because Sarah has a look about the armbar being locked in, and she's just cringing because,
I am.
You know, no matter, you know, Holiday tried to stack, she couldn't do it. She spiked her. That armbar just stayed, and she just kept it going. She kept it on, and she got the win. It was impressive. Once again, you have two 1-0 fighters with a lot of high skill, and definitely looking forward to seeing both of these guys as well, because I think these guys are like the future of the Invicta roster here. So
and Maverick's only 19, so
yeah.
I mean,
and that's the other thing about Maverick is the fact that she's only 19. I always think about her and Angela Lee as the two 19-year-old fighters who have a huge upside. I mean, you could look at Maverick and say she has 15 to 18 years of fighting still in her if she really applied herself. And she's already fighting at one of the highest levels, and she's winning. So definitely looking forward to seeing more of her. And Holiday as well.
Can I make a really random comment?
Yes.
You're not going to throw me out again, are you? You make no promises.
No.
Their entrance music was wrong. Holiday came in to a song from Top Gun. It was awesome. But then you've got Miranda Maverick. I mean, come on.
I'm going to ignore everything you just said.
Wow. Fine, I'll just move on then to the last fight we're going to talk about.
What's next? We're
going to
be talking about their outfits didn't match.
I didn't say that.
Wow. Okay, maybe that was a little snarky on my side. Okay.
I wasn't being near. Okay. Moving on. We're moving on. Okay, Felicia Spencer. Oh, my goodness. Felicia Spencer and Addison McElhaney, 1-0, both of them.
Yes.
So all three of our last fights, everyone was 1-0. Well, now they're not, but, you know, going in, they were all 1-0.
Yeah, and that was the nice thing about this card. You had three 1-0 fighters that were all very high-end fighters who put up fantastic shows. They didn't look like, they didn't know what they were doing. These guys were super competitive, ready to fight, in good condition, and they all performed well. Felicia Spencer, I saw her fight her first fight, and, man, she looked great. And then, again, this fight here, Felicia Spencer is just, you know, she's a buzz. She just buzzed around that ring, and relentless power. I thought McElhaney was going to be the bigger, stronger fighter, but the pressure came from Spencer. Spencer has a bright future. She really, the knees, the kicks, she can do it all. The nice takedowns, just constant pressure. And McElhaney just wilted under the relentless pressure. I don't think she had ever been pressed quite like that. Plus, there was some, I think, toward the end, her condition started to fail her a little bit. And when you have somebody that's a buzzsaw coming after you, you cannot afford to have conditioning issues, because I really felt like her conditioning started to fail her. And she paid for it.
All right. So that pretty much that covers the Invicta 22 fight card.
Is it me? But it's like Invicta lately has just decided that each card, we're raising the bar. Each card is getting better than the next one. And they're, Shannon and that crew are putting on amazing shows. You look at that, and I'm still shocked at the arena that they're fighting in, that there's the small arena. I seem like there should be 10 times more people at these events because they're missing out. And I'm so happy that Invicta's on Fight Pass because they deserve to be showcased. And they don't disappoint. I can't remember the last time I was just kind of bored or disappointed in an Invicta card. So Invicta, keep up the good work. With that, I'm Tate.
And I'm Sarah.
Thank you for tuning in. We are the Golden State Media Concepts Women Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. And we'll see you at the next event. Have a good one.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.